Happy Friday, everybody. You made it to the weekend. Let's kick it off right now with some fun Disney talk. Ricky and Pam are standing by. We're going to have some fun talking about our favorite place. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Right now is a great time to book that last-minute 2017 trip to get down to Walt Disney World. Think about it. Food and Wine Festival, Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, which starts this weekend. You've got Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, better weather, awesome park hours. It's just a great time to get down there. There's discounts out there right now. Hey, do me a favor. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote. When you put Be Our Guest podcast on there for how you heard about them, we're going to work together, you and I, planning an amazing Disney getaway. Even if you're heading to Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, it's going to be a fun time. We're going to get you the best price and make it the most magical vacation ever. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1215 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. We're hitting the road today to head out to Indy for the Indy Disney Meet. We hope to see you tomorrow. That's Saturday, August 26th from 12 to 7 at the Hamilton County Fairgrounds. Len Testa, Yeehaw Bob, Jim Hill, Jeff Barnes, and the Be Our Guest podcast, other folks, all kinds of folks coming together to raise money for Give Kids the World. So we hope to see you if you're in the Midwest. Come out and say hi. Can't wait to see you. And we'll be continuing today's show. We're going to ask you what you think and what you would suggest. So joining me today for this fun conversation, kind of continuing on what we talked about last Friday, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. I got it right today, Ricky. What's going on?
Having to get through the day is going to be the hardest part for today because I have to work all day, so it's going to be hard.
But I have to work too, and Pam has to teach all day.
Then I have to get on a plane. Yeah. So, you know,
we're driving. That's taking the BOGP Jeep. I love taking that thing.
It's nicely done.
Road trip. Pam, are you? Pam Forrester joining us. She's the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Also headed out to Indy. You guys flying or driving? You guys driving, aren't you?
This is a very rare Forrester road trip happening. I will say we don't do them very often. The flights to Indy it's like a 5-hour drive probably. And so by the time we catch a flight and get there 2 hours early and all that. So
yeah,
it just works out better for us to drive. Plus then we can choose when we leave. So we are driving over and looking forward to it. The first time we did it was last year. And I'm so excited that we got invited back. I guess we must not have been, too much of a pain because they did invite us back. So here we are again, going to be there. And the Magic for Less Travel is going to have a table there. And we're so happy to be a part of anything that raises money for Give Kids the World. So looking forward to that and can't wait to see everyone out there. So please come see us if you're in the area.
And you know what? I'm already nervous because I get to introduce one of my heroes to the stage. Honestly, I am not kidding with this either. Yeehaw Bob is going to be performing and I just cannot wait. I've never seen him outside of the River Roost. You know, that's going to be kind of, and he does lots of performances like at Give Kids the World.
Yes.
If you don't know, he is always there volunteering his time. In the summers, he's at the libraries for kids, that are getting exposed to literature and literacy programs. He goes to senior centers. He goes everywhere. This gentleman, he is just honestly, he's not only my hero because of the talent he has and the entertainment he brings to the folks who drop by Riverside, more for the fact that he's an amazing musician. I mean, that's one of the things. If you don't know, he does more than just the Yeehaw Bob thing. He is a great composer. Just go to his Facebook page and check it out. But mostly because this gentleman cares about other folks. He gets out there and just does. I mean, honestly, I don't know where he finds the time because he's there at Riverside Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. But, I mean, he performs almost every single day for somebody. And it's usually to help out, just to be a good guy. So I just want to be more like Yeehaw Bob, and I can't wait to introduce him there at the Indy Disney Meet. That's a true honor. I mean, we've got to do a lot of cool stuff for the podcast, but that's right up there. So already nervous, but I can't wait. It's going to be fun. All right, so anyway, continuing on with last week, thanks for all the great feedback on social media, especially our Facebook group over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We're talking about the next three attractions to go down at Walt Disney World. You guys gave some awesome suggestions all weekend. I loved reading them. I loved hearing what you guys thought. A lot better than my three suggestions that were all in Tomorrowland. You know what? We're listening to the show because Mallory wants to hear the show. We were coming home from Mizzou earlier in the week, and when I mentioned the People Mover, like, she literally got mad at me from the passenger seat. I'm like,
well, so did I.
So that's fighting words.
That's fighting words.
I didn't say I was going to take it out because I didn't like it. I just said that there could be a chance. Anyway, we're not rehashing that because my family was like giving me the stink eye because I said something on the show. I'm like, fine, we'll never listen into the podcast in the Jeep again. We're done. Yeah. But don't you do that
or maybe you don't say foolish things like that.
Or it could just be saying. That. I say foolish things like 24/7. But I don't want you to not listen to the podcast because we love that we're way up there on iTunes. That's so cool. And it's because of you guys. So thank you so much. Anyway, we're going to talk about what we think could be the next three. Now, of course, we're just speculating, but that's what we do here on Fridays sometimes. The next three counter service restaurants to close.
No, we're doing table service.
That's right. We're doing table service restaurants to close.
We're keeping you honest.
That's right. You are. And I promise it's not going to be the Liberty Tree Tavern in the American Adventure because it's counter service. We went over that on Wednesday.
That's different. True. That's a different name.
You are already doing really well today. Well, before Mike, have you been there? It's like this place down in Orlando.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what it is? I don't go in there. You know, that's where Mallory and Paige go when I go to the good places. You know, like I send them, go get a hot dog. I don't get chicken nuggets back in America. I'm having my Japanese or my fish and chips. Anyway, all right. So table service, Ricky, save us. What's one of your three? We're each giving three that we think could be on the chopping block because I guess, honestly, they're not performing up to par like we think they should.
All right. So the first one that I think is going to be on the chopping block, and I, you know, it's a relatively new-ish restaurant. I say that because it's literally been built within the last 5-10 years. But anyway, I am going to go with, oh my goodness, I forgot the name of the restaurant. Hold on. Spice Round Table. There we go. I was like, what is the name of the restaurant? I can picture where it is. I know everything about it. All right. So Spice Round Table is, I think, gotta have some sort of overhaul. I mean, I just don't. First of all, I thought it was a weird choice that they put in another Moroccan restaurant, given the fact that, you know, the other restaurant is, you know, pretty easy to get a reservation for, you know, with the restaurant Marrakesh. So I thought it was odd to begin with that they were putting in another Moroccan themed restaurant. You know, they tried the tapas thing. That didn't really go over well. They had to add dishes to make it fit for Disney Dining Plan. Just, they need to just start over. Just, you know, it's got I don't think the view, they tout the view for Illuminations. I don't think the view is very good. I saw it from my table when I went there. It was not a very good view. I just really, they just need to start over. Just start completely over. Do it.
Can we be honest here for a second? I gotta talk about this restaurant. And just, it's Chef Todd in our chat. I love Chef Todd because he knows everything about food and I know absolutely nothing except I like to eat food.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of our audience that might fall into this category. When I hear the word small plates, here's what I say. I'm not going there. I don't want small plates because it means I need a lot of small plates to get full. And it's going to be expensive.
Small plates too. Not like little, you know, it's not cheap getting full on small plates.
Because I know that's like, the reason is you can try a lot of like, you know, it's like sampling. You know, it's like, oh, I can try this. I can try that. I can mix and match. I can make a really cool meal. I get that. But you know what? There's a reason I like Trails End. I get a big fat metal plate and I can eat everything I want. I'm just like, I don't know. That's Mike from the Midwest. And that might be a new podcast coming out someday. I don't know. I'm thinking about that. Talking about Mike in the Midwest, growing up in the Midwest. But anyway, that's for a different day. Pam, what do you think? I mean, Spice Road Table, just before you give yours, is that its problem? I mean, when people say tapas, I know a lot of people do like that. It's a trendy thing. But yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people like me, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, I want a value.
I get it, but I think it's something else because look at how popular the same concept is in Italy. It works fantastically. That place is always busy. People love the small plate thing. I think the thing that really this restaurant suffers from, and the one that the other restaurants suffer from as well in Morocco, is that the food just seems to be some that either people aren't familiar with, they don't like, they don't want to eat, or something like that. I think that that's the thing that makes that so challenging. And the counter service seems to have a fairly good business for it to some degree, but I think it got this reputation for being a good value. And people were then, like you said, Mike, more willing to experience it because the counter service is a good value.
Right.
But this could work because it has a beautiful setting. It's right there on the water. And even if you don't love the view for illuminations, it is a place to sit and watch illuminations. It is a place to experience. I mean, who doesn't like eating outside on the water during the day, even if it's not, you know, the best view of illuminations? For someone like us who has seen it illuminations 100 times, you're willing to be like, you know what? I'm happy to sit down and experience it and eat a meal. But I will say, and we do like Moroccan food, but the last time we had eaten there, it was a lot pricier than I was expecting for the food that we got. I will just say that. We got kebabs and they had a small side dish with it. And I just felt like for what it was, it just didn't really seem worth it. I was honestly looking for more small plates, like more variety in their small plate offering. I was hoping to find something like that. And a lot of the drink choices weren't that appealing. So for me, that's why we haven't been back. We've done it a few times and I thought it was fine, but I can see why people don't want to attend this. And I don't know what they can change, but maybe like you got to give it. I think they gave the small plates offering such a small, like a limited time. It was like, you know, a few months and like then they're moving on to something else.
Yeah, I know, right?
And it may not immediately be a success, but find some way to work it into the dining plan. Maybe a sampling of small plate offerings in which you could choose three or four different things.
Yes, exactly. That would work great.
So here's my suggestion, Rocco.
That's what we do here, man. We help Disney out. Well, then homecoming is like the opposite. They're the big plates because you get the mac and cheese, man. Three people aren't finishing that sucker. That thing is going to kill you. You're just going to be so full. Anyway, this show is going to be 7 hours long if we don't hurry up. All right, Pam, give us your first one.
All right, so one of mine, and I actually saw it pop up in the chat room too, but this is one that I have written down. I have it written on my phone right here. Coral Reef.
Yeah, that was one of mine too.
Coral Reef. First of all, can we take the carpet down from the walls?
No, you don't like wall carpet?
It's retro. It's so sweet.
I mean, it was very nouveau, but now I think we've moved past wall carpet. I like the idea of the location. Maybe I think it's like a novel. It's still sort of a novel thing, even though it still seems very 80s to me, I will say. The watching the food, the seafood as you're eating seafood, I mean, you know, whatever. But I mean, it's a unique view. I think it has, you know, that going for it. But I really think at this point that we need to move on from this concept. And I think the food needs to be better. I absolutely think that the food needs to be better, period, end of story, for that space. And I think there's so much you could do here at Coral Reef. I mean, it's a weird location because it's out of the way. It's actually hard to kind of find.
But, it is.
You know, there's a lot of opportunity here that I think they're just missing.
You know what they should do with Coral Reef? You know, I think this is honestly, I like talking about this because it's fun. They could almost make this an ultra exclusive signature restaurant if they gutted it, because it's, think about signature restaurants, like even things like at Disneyland Club 33, they're hidden. They're kind of out of the way. And it's got this unique aquarium thing. I mean, it's got, it's like a niche, but if you made that into something that was like a flying fish plus, you know, like got like an onstage, what's that? Like a chef's table, they call it, you know, where you see the open kitchen. I don't know. I mean, they could really take something that's overlooked and underutilized and turn it into the next signature hotness. I don't know,
but they could. There's a lot of opportunity there.
Who knows? But they got to keep the wall carpet, right? Anyway,
we've got to move on from the wall carpet. I'm scared about what's behind the wall carpet.
Okay, that seems fair.
That's right. It was the 80s. Everything went okay. Anyway, next, here's a new one for you, Ricky. I thought you were gonna go my way on this one. How about this one at the Magic Kingdom? Skipper Canteen needs to go. How about this? It was the hotness. Like, I'm never getting in there. There's no way I'm getting an ADR to get in that place. Yeah, you are. So I'm just saying, I don't mind it, to be honest, but I think that this is one that is not living up to its potential, you know, because we are so excited that how cool is it that we're going to have a Jungle Cruise experience in our dining. And I'm not saying it's bad because I get the, it tastes like chicken and it's chicken. And because it's fine. It's simple. I'm a simple guy and I got simple tastes. So, it's not bad. And I do enjoy the environment. It's a cool looking restaurant on the inside. The waiters and waitresses, carry out the spiel and have a good time. I don't really have a problem with Skipper Canteen. Here's why I say it could be on the chopping block someday, sooner rather than later. It's in a prime spot. And I know it just sat empty forever. Don't get me wrong. I get that. But the thing is like, it just had all the potential in the world. This was going to be the hot, like, Trader Sam's of restaurants. And how often, okay, think about it in the last 6 months. When was the last time you heard somebody talk about Skipper Canteen? Okay, point. There you go. There's my point. Ricky, what do you think? I mean, you don't. I mean, I have nothing wrong with it, but you just, there's no buzz. I mean, zero buzz for Skipper Canteen.
That's unfortunate, too, because, like you said, it has such a good idea behind it. I'm not sure what it is that's making people not really want to eat there. I mean, granted, I haven't eaten there yet. So, it's one of those places that I've kind of mentioned to Brian, and he's never been like, yeah, let's go there. So, that's it. I'm probably part of the problem.
Well, the thing is, I don't want anybody to think I'm saying don't go there. You know, I'm saying do go there. I don't mind it. I mean, the food's not that bad, and it's, I don't think it's like a signature restaurant. It's okay. It's average theme park sit-down restaurant food, and it's got a great environment. But the thing is, I'm just not hearing anything of it. You know, I thought that this would be one of those that just gets a ton of buzz, and it's really hard to get an ADR, kind of like a BR guest. I honestly would have said, a couple of years ago, this is going to be just like Be Our Guest. Hard to get an ADR. It's going to be tough, and it's not so much. All right, anyway, let's keep going. Round two. Ricky, what do you got?
Oh, my goodness. It's just, I know that this is getting a retheme now, and I guess so it's kind of cheating. But I'm totally going with Shudders over at Caribbean Beach.
That's so bad, but go ahead.
What'd you say?
That's so bad, but go ahead with it.
Yes,
with it.
Exactly. That's why. Like, if they just bring it back in the form that it's in right now, that it was in, like, seriously, bad idea, bad move. So it's a good thing that the whole area is under refurbishment. I have heard Shudders is coming back. I hope they change up, like, everything that is involved with it. So, just better food, better atmosphere, just overall, just completely redo everything with that restaurant. I mean, absolutely everything. Just start over.
Caribbean
food is so good too. Like, get in some jerk chicken. Like, that's delicious. You serve it on the cruise ship. So, for pirate night, serve it in the pie. Like, it's not spicy. People can handle that, I'm sure. Like, serve that. Serve plantains. Like, basically take a lot of some of the things that you have on the menu for Caribbean night on the cruise ship or for pirate night and bring it over to the cruise. Like, that's all you got to do. I mean, I don't know.
I like it. All right, Pam, what do you got for your number two on your list that Vicky did not tell you in the chat?
So my next one is something that, while I understand it has great theming, it has folks that love that theming, I think something in this restaurant has to change, and it's sci-fi.
I agree. Yep.
So first of all, I think they have a food issue where for years their food was constantly named to be some of the most terrible food at a table service restaurant in Walt Disney World. So I just feel like that is part of that's part of the reputation it has. Now, I think that they've made some changes over the year, but I think they probably need to make some more. Secondly, heard from so many people that actually don't like the seating. Like, the idea of the car is very novel and everything. But if you're a table of like four, then there's two people sitting in front and two people sitting in back. It's weird. Like, when Steve and Hannah and I go,
oh my gosh,
Hannah sits by herself in the front, and then Steve and I are behind her, and it's weird. If you have an odd number, it's going to be all kinds of weird. It's just kind of weird thing. There are some tables, and they can pull a chair up every now and then, but just to have more functional seating, I think, is an issue. I think for those who have mobility issues, getting in and out of that car is kind of a pain in the butt. At first, hearing the movies and seeing them up on the screen is kind of a cool, novel thing. And then 15 minutes into it, you just want to be like, okay, shh. Like, I can't hear the people I'm talking to. I just would like maybe 5 minutes of silence. Like, it's a lot for all that. So, I mean, I like, from a person who loves theming, the theming of it is something I really appreciate. But I think at this point, it just is not, I'm not sure that it works anymore. So,
you know, the monkey that rides like the Astro Orbiter in that in sci-fi is at the St. Louis Zoo. Did you know that, Ricky? A little connection there. There's a monkey that rides like a little Astro Orbiter kind of thing in one of those clips. And it's at the St. Louis Zoo. Yeah. Just so you know.
Okay.
It's our hometown zoo.
Good to know.
We're famous
we're
famous for more than the Cardinals, man.
I'm just telling you.
All right.
Monkeys flying in spaceships.
Yeah, a little spaceship. Anyway, so you know what? Joanne Griffith, my great friend down in Lake Buena Vista, Kissimmee, or the greater Orlando area, our friend, she mentioned STK, and I want to throw that one out there because this one is, I think, if we're seriously doing the next three goners for table service restaurants,
yeah,
I would put a chip on this one. You know, like if I was a betting man, I might put STK, let's put 50 on that one because...
Yeah.
You know, this one is, and Len Testa talked about this, I think it was not this year's 12-Hour Live show, but the year before in 2016. So about a year ago, talking about how, because I've never been there. Ricky, you been
nope.
there?
Pam? Never been.
Pam, have you? You've been. Pam, you're nodding?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, in the lounge area, yes.
Okay, so I've never been in there. And again, this is kind of like Skipper Canteen to me. Like, if you've been there, like you're like a unicorn, like, oh my gosh, you're the one. Okay, can we talk? Do you have a picture? What's it look like on the inside? Because the thing is, I mean, I'm hearing that from people and it's got prime real estate in Disney Springs, which is totally a new hotness. You know, like people want to go to Disney Springs. People want upscale dining, which is what STK is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I'm not drawn there.
They
like
don't
if
want
I want to stay, I know that's what I've heard. I mean, that's what Len said. I don't know how true that is. I mean, I don't discount what Len says, but you know, I can't imagine that's what it is. That's my problem. I don't see a steakhouse where people are like it's like the
LA
disco scene.
Yeah, no, because there's one here in Atlanta, and so I've driven past it, and it's in kind of a you know, popular-ish area, like a populated area, and dude, it's seriously like a club atmosphere. Like they have lights flashing, like it is seriously a club, and it works in Atlanta, but it the idea, the concept of like club/steakhouse does not work in Disney Springs. It may work in a different area of Orlando, I don't know. At Disney Springs, the idea doesn't work.
So okay, so I'm picturing, okay, so is it like this, Ricky, do you know? I mean, is it like, okay, say like Dave and Buster's. They got the big arcade in the back.
No.
Is that like the disco? And then the tables are kind of up in the front where it's away from it? Or is like the disco happening like at, is you're like, you know, cutting up and putting, I mean, A1 on your steak?
Obviously, I haven't been there, but I think it's like,
and you probably shouldn't put A1
one.
On your
steak. I don't think there's a separation of anything, so.
It's very loungy. Yeah, like the whole restaurant has kind of a loungy feel to it.
Which does not go with expensive steakhouse to me.
Well, it's like an upscale lounge, I will say. Like an upscale loungy area.
So it's not geared towards me, right, Pam? I mean, like the 43-year-old dad, like that's not, it's not necessarily my scene.
No, it wasn't geared toward us either. Like, I will just say, I don't know who it's geared towards. I guess really the younger crowd that really wants to spend that much on a steak.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's funny because when you think of an expensive steakhouse, don't you think of people maybe a little older appreciating the steak? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Like,
yes.
You know, I'm thinking like Ruth's Chris or something like that. You know, the STK is not Ruth's Chris expensive, but I'm just saying, it's just, I don't know. It's hard to even describe. It just wasn't our scene, as they
say. I get it.
As the young folks say, it wasn't our scene.
That's it. All right. Okay, so we're putting my chip down on that one. Okay, Ricky, give us your last one. Last of the next three table service restaurants to close at Walt Disney World.
Okay, I'm cheating. I am giving two. So, the first one, and this is one that I think is a no-brainer. I think it's going. It's just we haven't heard anything about it. The first one is going to be Bongos at Disney Springs. There's no buzz. It's owned by Gloria Estefan, which she hasn't been relevant in a few years.
I missed the Miami Sound Machine. They were awesome.
Absolutely. Who doesn't miss, you know, Congo? But anyway, there's a joke with my mom and my brother in there. But anyway, definitely that needs to go. I think the concept is great. I love Cuban food. I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I just think that they need to update a little bit, do something to that restaurant to, you know, make it fit into the current Disney Springs. But the other one, the one that really I was thinking about when I was scrolling through the list of menus, and I was like, I forget that that's there all the time.
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. Let me guess. What? Paradiso 37?
No, but that's another good one, actually.
I want to go there so bad. Go ahead.
Mine is actually at the Boardwalk, and that is the Big River Grill. I just think so many people, like, you don't even know it exists half the time. Like, most people don't know this restaurant exists. I think that they have a good concept because they brew beer there?
They do.
I think that they have a great concept in mind, and especially with the way the craft brewing, all that is such a really huge thing, especially with millennials. Matter of fact, we just were in Nashville a couple weekends, and we literally rode bikes to go to different breweries. So, like, that's what we did one Saturday, and that was fun. But I feel like the Big River Brew... whatever, Big River Grill just doesn't, I don't even know the name of it. It just doesn't have that it factor that it could so easily have with just like little tweaks. And it could be like
It's 100% their menu because we've actually eaten there so many times because Steve likes some of the beer there. And they have not changed that menu in probably 15 years. Seriously, I'm not kidding.
They could have a wonderful restaurant on their hands right there. You've got the Boardwalk. You're close to Epcot. I mean,
you have outdoor seating. You have plentiful outdoor seating. Rarity.
Exactly. So Disney, let's get on the ball and make
it's part of a conglomerate.
Yeah, well, whoever
that's
owns
the whole
it,
thing. That's
whoever owns it, needs, let's,
beers.
We just need to email them and be like, dude.
Just update the menu, like add some new things in. They've made different foods since 15 years ago.
Exactly.
They use different ingredients.
Exactly.
I mean,
we went to this awesome burger place the whole thing was burgers and brews.
Yes.
And it was so fantastic because they had so many different like kinds of burgers. My favorite, what I had, it was the Elvis theme burger. It was a peanut butter burger, which I know sounds disgusting. It's delicious. For those of you who judge peanut butter burgers, they're amazing. It had cheese. It had bacon. It was so good. Disney could totally do like a burger bar themed restaurant there. Add the craft beers. Done. I've just given you an idea that will totally work.
Throw in alcoholic milkshakes and you have the trifecta.
I love it.
Burgers, beer, and alcoholic milkshakes.
An idea. We are giving you a genius idea. Go for it.
That's called Fuddruckers.
No!
Oh, I love Fuddruckers. There's not one in St. Louis. I go to Columbia. It's like if it's not in St. Louis, I think it's awesome. It's in Columbia.
Oh, no. Have you been to Fuddruckers in the past few years?
Disgusting. No, the one in Columbia is awesome. Anyway, let's don't talk about Fuddruckers because if you say that one backwards, you get in big trouble. We lose our clean rating. So anyway, Pam, save us. Just don't say it backwards.
So here's something that I'm going to say. Maybe may not go, but I think it should go. And some of the parents will not be happy with me about this. I'm saying Rainforest Cafe.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going with.
It just, seriously, this is like, to me, an Applebee's, like set in the rainforest. Seriously, it is. When I see on the menu, like the platter of appetizers that includes like different kinds of egg rolls and this, and potato skins. Yes. What, potato skins? Are those still even a thing? Like, no. I don't know. Just the whole thing about it. I don't think that the food's very good. It all feels incredibly fake to me. I swear the last time after I ate there, I needed like a gallon of water within the next hour or two. Like, I was like laden with salt and preserves. I'm sorry. Like, I'm really ripping up Rainforest here, but I think Disney's better than that. I think that they should be better than a strip mall, and Rainforest feels like a strip mall location to me. So that's, I mean, you know, and I know that some kids really like it. I get it. But it's just, I think it just doesn't belong there anymore. Be more unique than that.
Or at least they don't need two locations. One at Disney's Animal Kingdom, which nobody goes to. And I mean, if
T-Rex is just another rainforest.
Exactly. So. If they wanted to keep one, maybe keep the one at Disney Springs, but they definitely don't need the one at Animal Kingdom. Yeah. No.
It's just not that good. Sorry. No.
I thought you were going to say Hollywood and Vine, which also needs to go. Bye. See you later. Let's go.
That's a good one. It's got a prime location, and it could. You know what? I would say that would be on a list. That should be on a list
because the food. That's one of the reasons I haven't gone there. The food not appealing at all to me. Like, seriously, does not sound good. So.
And you know what? The name Hollywood and Vine, they should turn that into just a classic. I mean, it should just be a classic diner. I mean, it's not even that hard.
Disney, why? Why do you not have a diner? Like, serve breakfast food all day.
Yes. We've said that for years. They need a place that's just breakfast all the time. I mean, like a really nice Denny's.
Yeah, well, yeah,
like much a Waffle House. Like a Waffle House.
Please, 100 times nicer than Denny's.
I want my eggs smothered, and diced and cubed. Anyway, that'd be awesome. Now I'm starving for some breakfast food. Anyway, let me close it out here so I can go get some Waffle House.
Okay.
So
I gotta go check my burning chicken. It's fine.
And the sheep chicken. All right. So the last one I have, Vicky mentioned it earlier, just because I think this could either. I just think that it's Tony's Town Square at the Magic Kingdom.
Yes, hallelujah.
It's the gimme. But the thing is, you know what? I don't think it's that bad. I've eaten there and I've seen Spectre Magic from the little, you know, porch there where you can eat outside back in the day. You know, Spectre Magic went by. It was awesome.
It's bad.
Chicken parm. I don't mind the chicken parm. Honestly, it's fine. I'm a simple guy with simple taste. Chicken parm's pretty good. But the thing is, like,
getting Mike a t-shirt.
Here's the thing. That's what we should.
I'm a simple guy with simple taste. I am. That's all we need.
But anyway, so you're gonna get me in trouble. So what I would say about Tony's is that it's just, I mean, it's in the Magic Kingdom. It's like the very first restaurant you come to. Yes. It's just, it needs, like Pam said earlier, I have no huge problem with it, but the theming, saying that it's themed to Lady and the Tramp.
No.
It's so lightly themed.
Sound does not make a theme.
No, that's the thing. The thing is, they need to go all in on something. And I think an Italian restaurant is fine. Yes. I think also a steakhouse there would be nice. Kind of like Disneyland Paris. Don't they have a steakhouse called Waltz?
Yeah, Waltz. They have a signature restaurant right there in the park. And it's so much. It is themed and it's good. And I think that's what it needs. That's what it needs to be. Yeah, absolutely. Some pictures and a fountain don't make it a theme.
And a window, and I can be like, stain.
My office is themed after whatever. I mean, whatever I have behind me today.
Yeah.
Big Hero 6 themed office.
Well, because, I mean, think about it. You're gonna walk 500 yards and come across Be Our Guest restaurant, which honestly is like a three-dimensional, you know, you're in the movie. You're sitting in the ballroom. Yeah. You're in the West Wing or wherever the roses, you know, I mean, it's just, it's amazingly detailed and it tells the story and you're in the environment. And then you go to Tony's, which of course, you know, is a 1.0 restaurant. It's old, but you know, close it for a year, just gut it. And I don't even care if you come back and it's still called Tony's, because Tony's is a pretty good name for an Italian restaurant, but wow, people, you know, like that is what a lot of folks who aren't like us, because the restaurant's not very popular, you can probably get in there the day of. But the thing is that's going to be some people's experience with Disney dining. And I don't want that. Like you said, Pam, you made a good point. We're not trying to be negative on these, but Disney's better than this. And they've learned over the years. And they're kind of letting this one just sit there. You know, like it's like it's there. You know, it's not great. It's not going to give you food poisoning. It's there. You know, like,
no, that's available. I
mean, you know, you're better than
this
that.
Is the bar.
Exactly. Like, let's step
it's
up.
Not it. It's not going
You know, you can get an ADR there and you're not going to have to go to the hospital. I mean, we don't want that to be the new standard. I mean, I'm just saying.
That's the bar. As long as it doesn't give you food poisoning, it's a good restaurant. Yes.
I'm just saying. It's you know, and I'll eat there. I have no problem eating there. I like the chicken parm. They have pretty decent desserts too. But I just wish that, you know, I don't know. I just think that we have come a long way, say, in the last decade as far as our expectations for table service restaurants. It's not – the food is most important. It always has to be. I think you got to have good food. But I think we've graduated to, okay, it has to have really good food. But what kind of entertainment, what kind of environment am I going to be in? Like, what are those extemporaneous things that are around me as I'm experiencing my meal? Like, am I going to walk out saying, man, that was a really good – you know, I liked my sides. I liked my entree. It had a really killer dessert to finish the meal. But also, wow, that server was playing a role as part of the environment in the interaction.
Playing the accordion?
Yes.
We should totally have so accordion
many, that's it. There's so many accordion players out of work right now. Let's let's stimulate the economy. Let's do it. Anyway, that's it. So.
Oh, my gosh. There should totally have an accordion player. I love it. Let's do it.
That might not. That might work for like a week, and they're like, you know, that's a bad idea. Let's no accordion player. Anyway, so that's our thoughts on the next three counter or table service restaurants that we think may go at Walt Disney World. Let us know what you think. We're going to talk about it on Facebook. We're going to talk about it on Saturday tomorrow at the Indy Disney Meet. So be there 12-7 Hamilton County Fairgrounds. Just check out Indy Disney Meet on Facebook, and we want to see you there. Can't wait to see everybody. Safe travels to Indy. So that's it for today's show. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when you're headed to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or sailing on the Disney Cruise Line, drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. There are some amazing specials out there for the end of 2017. Still lots to do. Food and Wine. Pam's headed down for, you know, here very soon. You know, check out Food and Wine Festival. It's a great time to go. You can go to the Halloween party, Pam, if you're there. I mean, it's already today. I think what the first Halloween party is today. It's this weekend.
Oh,
maybe it was yesterday. I don't know. As the show comes out, it is Halloween season, people. Get to Walgreens, get your candy. It's going to sell out fast. No, it's not. But anyway, great time to get down there. 2017, still plenty of time. So drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no obligation quote. We'll see what's out there. We'll look for a discount. We'll get you the best price. We'll check the availability and get you down there. Still a lot of fun to be had. Christmas party's coming up very soon as well. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. When you're doing that online shopping this weekend, don't forget brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It supports the show very much. Thank you so much. I know Patrick emailed me or sent me a message on Facebook earlier this week asking for the link. He was going to do some shopping on Amazon. Appreciate that so very much. When you guys do that, you do support the show. It costs you nothing extra. It's a great way. It's a win-win for everybody. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thank you so very much.
And for those who have a question or curious, where can I find it? Go to thebrguestpodcast.com and you'll find the link there too.
Yep,
so
there's a little linky, but it's even easier just.
Well, I know that, but just in case people don't remember.
How hard is that to remember? Come on now, people. It's Amazon. It's Be Our Guest Podcast. It's all in one URL. I mean, I can't make it any easier.
Just saying.
Anyway, I don't want to argue with you. So anyways,
we really are like brother and sister, aren't we?
That's it. Anyway, Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike, Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. Drop on by. We have lots of live content there. All right, time to get out of here because I got to pack the trailer and head out east. So we'll see you in Indy. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Stay safe, whatever you do. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.